And I'll just add my PS onto what Jay was talking about. As I'm sharing with you guys, the people that God has used me to impact in terms of people coming to Christ, everything that I do comes out of the living proof thinking. I went through it. Dave Hill took me through it 20-something years ago. And to me, it was in a different format, VHS tapes and all. But same ideas. The concepts are all there. Just needed to be updated. And that's the new that's out there. But to me, it gave me a strategy that worked to win the lost. You know, I told you last night, I was in a street evangelism. That was my mindset back then. And there's some wonderful things about street evangelism, but within my life, with the relationships I had, to win the lost, I couldn't do it if I'm, you know, like I started doing with my family, where I was in their face telling about Jesus, and I drove them away, and my brother was gone for 10 years. So the living proof concepts, it really gave me a strategy to do it. So I just would strongly encourage you, if you have not been through that material, to go through it. Find somebody, go through it together. It's important to have conversations about it. There's a lot to discover in there. Anyway, hope you guys had great discussion groups and good lunch. We're in the home stretch here. Does anybody, I know we've got some new people, does anybody need the handout? If you don't have one, raise your hand. Need at least one in the back there, one or two in the back. Are there, John, have you got any more of those? Anyone have one on a chair? Oh, there's one. So in the morning, we talked about three biblical ideas for leading a fruitful life. I got three more for you this afternoon. And the first one is a concept that many of you are familiar with. It's this idea that when we abide in Christ, we have intimacy with God. God brings fruit. And it's really neat to see this. We're most familiar with John 15, where Jesus talked about this. But it's really great to see this in Psalm 1. And this should be in your handout. Starting with verse 2, this is a psalm that compares the righteous man versus the wicked man. And so the righteous man is referred to here, starting in verse 2. But the righteous man, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. So God wants us to be like that tree, sinks our roots down into the streams of water, and we will yield fruit. Jesus in John 15 spoke more directly about it. Verse 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." This is just a really fundamental but profoundly important concept of leading a fruitful life, is we must abide in the vine. Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. It's an honor to be a branch. All of the life-giving power that's going to give life, it all comes from the vine, but as a branch, it comes through us. That's how God's chosen to bring his kingdom to people. It's through us, the branches. And as we abide, it's a promise. This is a promise from God. As we abide in the vine, we will bear fruit. So if you want to live a fruitful life, the number one thing you can do is intimacy with God, is abide in the vine. Both of these passages from Old Testament, New Testament, they're talking about intimacy. My intimacy, your intimacy with God. To abide, that word, it means to remain. You'll see some translations that'll use that word in place of it. It means to stay closely connected. Another great translation is to settle in for the long term. Just like a branch wants to settle in for the long term into that vine. It makes sense that a branch or a believer who stays close to Jesus is going to bear fruit. I mean, I don't think anybody would argue that. And the more that we abide in Christ, the more fruit. So think about a vine, and often people, they'll illustrate it as a vineyard. If you're familiar with vineyards, where there's a vine and then the branches grow up and the trellises, and they'll have the grapes that will be in the vineyard. The larger the connection of the branch to that vine, the less obstructed it is, the more potential for a great crop. So same with us. My goal, I want to abide more and more and more in Christ. This is not that you do more. This is not about doing, okay? But you choose to be with him more. That's what abide, that's what intimacy is about. Some people take this idea and they think, I got to get busy. I got to do. It's not about doing. This is about resting. This is about choosing to be with him. This is about more of God in your life, more of him in your activities, more of him in your thoughts, your desires. This is about enjoying him, enjoying the shepherd, being with him, thinking about him, walking with him in our lives. And in John 15:9, Jesus said, abide in my love. Of course, that's what it's all about. This is a love relationship with our shepherd. And as we do this, our time that we spend with him is going to be more rich. Your time in the Word is going to be, it's going to be richer. You'll be more attentive to his presence in your life and to learn to recognize his still small voice. That's been a neat thing for me over the last year. I am really tuning in more into this still small voice. I was in the airport yesterday to come down here, and I got a text from my brother-in-law. I showed you a picture. I know you can't see these pictures too well, but he was with my sister, obviously, in the picture. So he texted me. I'm in the airport waiting for at the gate, waiting to take my flight down here. And my brother-in-law is a pilot, and he flies a Gulfstream, but he texted me, and he said, what are some good lunch spots in the Atlanta airport? And so I thought, whoa, Lawrence is here. This is awesome. So I said, what gate are you at? And he said, I'm B. And I said, I'm here too. I'm over in C. So if you know the Atlanta airport, you know, two different parts of the airport. And I didn't hear anything. He went dark on me. And I started to think about Lawrence, and just the still small voice said, he's on the way. And my flight was going to take off soon, and I was going to use the restroom. And the still small voice said, just stay right here. He's on the way. And so I stood up. I was just standing there, and here he comes. And it was great. And you know, we've been praying for Larry. I said, we really don't know where Larry is. And Larry came down. We had 10 minutes to speak. I kind of let the plane board. It took as much time as I could. But Larry wanted to know what I was coming to Houston for, and I told him. And he had sent me a message that he heard some sermon. And he started talking to me about it. He said, the last part of it, it's about heaven. And he started to try to tell me. He got so choked up. He couldn't speak. I mean, God just was in this moment with my brother-in-law. And it was awesome. And I texted my sister later because she found out we were together in the airport. And I said Lawrence got all choked up talking about heaven. And she was so encouraged because, you know, she's on the front lines there praying for him and loving him. So that's just an example. As we abide more, the intimacy that we have and how God will use that to bring fruit into our lives. Well, going back to the fruit tree page, and for you new guys, this is the last page in the handout. I talked about Greg earlier, and I want to share with you a little bit about my friend Brent. These are guys who I started to disciple. You know, I was just 2, 3, 4 years in Christ. Is this kind of this next series of guys, Greg, Brent, and Adam. And I just saw how in me abiding in Christ, I started to see how God would bring fruit. And Brent is just a great story of this. So about 3 or 4 years after I left Coke, I was at home one day washing my car, and the phone rang, and it was my friend Jeff. And Jeff started to tell me that, so this is Brent and Tracy. They're married. Tracy was pregnant at the time with their first child. And Brent had come home the night before, and she found a bag of cocaine on him. And they were already at the point where she said, if there are any more drugs, you're out. Well, she found more drugs. And so she said, sleep on the couch, sober up, and you're out in the morning. And she booted him. So that morning, he was gone, and as far as she knew, he was probably going to go out to get wasted. I mean, you know, you get kicked out by your wife. He had addiction issues. He's probably just going out, you know, going to go to wherever. She called Jeff, and Jeff and his wife were getting into Brent and Tracy's life and explained. And Jeff was really broken up. He called me and he said, "I'm going to go out and look for Brent. I don't know if I can find him, but if I can I bring him to your house? Because my wife's pregnant and I can't bring him over. I can't bring that mess into my house," which I could understand. And we talked, and remember, I'm learning to think lost, right? Envisioning the end. What am I going to give my life to? Having margin. Here I'm washing my car. What's going to happen if this mess comes over to my house? But this is what I'm about, right? So I said, "Yeah, bring them over. We'll talk about it." So Jeff and Brent showed up at my doorstep. I mean, literally, here they are. And we sat down, we talked. We had probably 4 hours talking to Brent about addiction issues. And at the end of that, he finally started to get honest. You know, a lot of people with addiction issues can just be serial liars. And it was just one lie after the next. He started to get honest. And that day, everything changed for Brent. Brent ended up, he moved into my house. We started to meet in the scripture on a daily basis. He started going to AA. And Brent's life started to change dramatically. And it was 6 or 8 weeks later, his wife had seen enough changes that she said he could come back. And that restored them. And then, you know, they had their first child, which is Cole. This Cole, if you can see, he's a freshman now at the Citadel. He's a great wrestler. So I've been great friends with the Burke family now for over 20 years. Brent and I, we did Operation Timothy. We met for about 5 years. And Brent is just one of the greatest joys of my life. We are such great friends. Some of you have met Brent. He's been here before. And Brent has such a heart for people. And he has, these three teenage kids now. Actually, he's got three teenage kids, and he's got a son from out of wedlock before. And Tracy's heart has been completely changed as well. Tracy has just welcomed this son that, you know, is from another woman. He's now in his 20s. But she just, there, he's one of them. He's a Burke. It's amazing the redemption that has happened in this family. I'm not careful, I'll lose it again. And Brent with three teenagers has a real heart for young people. And this is kind of tough to make out, but here's Brent's in the middle of a pack of, I think these are 9th or 10th graders. And he's, for years, he's invested time. This is his third group that he'll start with them in 9th grade. He'll go through 12th grade with these kids. And a couple of the kids, Matt and Connor, here on the list, Matt and Connor are now in college, and Brent has found that Matt and Connor are withstanding all the pressure that college brings to young people to, you know, get into the whole party life and everything. He's seen significant changes in them, and they're holding the line. And he's got relationships with a lot of these other young people who don't hold the line, but they'll come back to Brent, and he'll work with them. Brent has also seen Sean and Derek. Sean was a neighbor of his, and Derek, he's seen them come to Christ. His kids have been greatly impacted. His kids, they're reaching out to people. There's a whole fruitfulness that is happening in Brent and Tracy's life. And I think back to the day when I got that phone call, "Can I bring this guy over to your house?" That was a key decision point. But that's why we got to get these things nailed down, because for me, it was pretty much a no-brainer. Yeah, bring him over. And him moving into my house, yeah, let's do this. And trusting God with that. So that's the story of Brent. Adam is another man who's been a great blessing to me. He's the fourth guy on my Timothy list. And Adam is somebody who, as far as I know, was a believer when I met him, but just his intimacy with God was just gone. And we started just to read through the Gospel of John. Here's Adam with his wife, Shelley, and their four kids. They live up in Greenville now. And Adam and I just really, really looked at the life of Jesus and really got to know him. And I just saw Adam move from a place where he was just locked down with God. He was angry. He was bitter. And the Lord just changed his heart and opened him up. And Adam and his wife, they've got a very dynamic couples ministry that they're involved in. God's used him to bring his brother to Christ. And Brian and Will and Justin are three other guys where Adam has seen the Lord use him to bring dramatic change into their lives. So those are examples to me of people where I'm just abiding and doing my thing, and God, as he promises, he brings fruit. So that's number four. The next concept I want to look at is this idea that pruning is what leads to more fruit. John 15, it's important to put it in context. It is a time where, John 13 is what is Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And then they're in the upper room, and then he's talking about him going off the scene, and Judas, he takes off to betray. John 15, Jesus is on his way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the end point of his time. It's the closing hours of his time with his 11, because Judas has taken off at this point. And as he walks with them in John 15, he uses the image of agricultural life, vines and branches, to teach. So let's read a few verses here from John 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. He prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You'll notice I underlined some words in that passage. It's significant that Jesus describes four types of branches here. One that bears no fruit, one that bears fruit, one that bears more fruit, and then much fruit. Four different types of branches. His desire, of course, is that we would bear much fruit. And he says that right there in verse 5. That's where he wants us to be. Well, I want to focus in on how we get from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. It seems like a key inflection point, and pruning is how it happens. Ouch. This is to me is really key. That, you know, if you look at your life and you've got fruit, God wants to bring more. And the way he promises to bring it is through pruning. Let's talk about pruning. Pruning can be painful. That certainly has been my experience. It doesn't have to be painful. Pruning can happen where something is taken away, where it's not painful. My experience is that most of the time it is painful. And it does lead to more fruit. Pruning does not only refer to something that is cut off. This is how I used to think about it. I'm a very literal, concrete thinker. And I thought it has to be, you know, that something is cut off or taken away. But it's broader than that. It could just be where there is pain. It's the pain of the vine dresser's shears that is bringing the pruning. And of course, we don't like pain. We like to stay away from pain. But it's important to understand that pain is a vital way that God works in our lives. God talks a lot about trials, right? Think about in James chapter 1. We read, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. God says trials are a good thing. And in that passage, he goes on to say, it's the testing of your faith that develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So through the trials, it's a test. And to pass the test, we need to respond with faith. We need to persevere. And as we persevere, we become mature and complete. Our character grows. God is interested in developing our character. And so pruning is one of these ways that God is bringing the trial. As I look at my life, I've been walking with God for almost 26 years. I can see four significant seasons of pain and suffering that I've had. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I want to hit some key highlights because I think it's really instructive to see how God does this pruning and how he brings fruit. In every one of these seasons, every single time it happens, You know, life kind of goes this way. I'm hurting in some way. That's how it feels. And I always ask myself, and I ask God, God, are you bringing discipline? Because God says that he will also discipline us. And it's important to distinguish. God disciplines us when we have major sin and when there is not fruit. When there is fruit in your life is when God brings pruning. To me, that's a really important distinction. Okay? And I would always ask myself, is there discipline? Is this discipline? Is there some overt sin in my life, God, and that's why this is happening? And as far as I can tell, the Lord has responded to me, this is pruning. I mentioned my first season of pruning last night when I talked about leaving Coke. And after I'd been out for a while, and then I was in that wilderness time, to me that was a time of pruning. It was painful. I was really questioning, God, where do you want me to be? And it felt, I didn't see the way forward. I didn't know what was going on. And that was about a 2 or 3 month period that went on. So to me, that was my first season of pruning. The second one came, let's see, that was 1996 when I had that first one. The next one came 7 years later in 2003. In 2002, I had a banner year. It was a year of harvest. In fact, at the end of the year, I was sharing just kind of how my year had gone with a good friend. And he said, Rob, I have a vision of your life. It's like I just see wheat fields. I mean, you have had such a harvest. And that's how I felt about it. And that was December. January of 2003 came, and those fields were cleaned out, and there was nothing there, and a time of pruning started. It was a six-month season. It was the hardest thing I'd been through to that point. And in that time, all my business went away. And I'm talking everything. I got no phone calls. I was just home, bored, with nothing to do from a work point of view. My health went away. I had a back issue. I wasn't able to exercise, play golf, running, none of that. My ministry went away. I had thriving ministry in 2002 as part of that harvest. All of it, gone. Gone. Except for Brent, who I showed you. Brent and I were still meeting. All my friends, gone. They could not understand what was going on with me. I would try to communicate to them. I'm hurting. Here's what's going on. And it's like they just had, you know, fingers in their ears. They couldn't understand. It was a really hard time. My friend Brent was like the one source of comfort and understanding that I had during that time. And it went on for 6 months. And guys, you know when nothing's going on and you're hurting, time just drags on. Kind of like when you're up at night and you can't sleep. The time, you're just staring at the clock. This is what it was like for me for 6 months this went on. But God was working in my heart in a great way. I won't go through the whole story, but as I got to the end of that 6 months, God brought some profound healing around my relationship with my dad. And the Lord revealed himself to me in a way as my father and really spoke to me about who I am as his son in a way that it turned me inside out. It was one of those really special moments with God where he revealed himself to me in a very life-changing way again. And once I got to that point, I was so grateful for that 6 months. And at that point, once God revealed himself, the season was over, and like everything came back. All the business came back, the relationships, and ministry started up. And one of the new Timothys I got from that is a friend whose name is Nick. And got a picture of Nick here. Nick is somebody who I met through business. He works for a company that I've worked with for many years. I got to know him, and he just was kind of getting to know me, and I ended up sharing some of what I had been through that six-month period. And he was really interested in that, and he called me months later, and he said, I've been thinking about what you talked about that day, and I'd love to know more. And we got together, and we saw God leading us into Operation Timothy. And so Nick and I, we spent about 5 years in Operation Timothy. And Nick has made a huge impact on his dad. Nick had some significant drinking problems. So did his father. And God used Nick's story to help his dad come out of his alcoholism and bring him to Christ. Nick has had an enormous impact on his son. on Scott, who he works with. So you can see how God had used me to kind of start penetrating into that workplace in a greater way. And then Ryan is someone who works for Nick. Nick's had a huge impact on Ryan, and Ryan is into youth ministry in a big way. And also Eric. So, Nick is someone who I feel just has a huge future ahead of him. God is starting to move some mountains in his life. And I think the abiding is going to increase and the fruit's going to increase in Nick's life. So Nick's been a great blessing to me as well. My third season of pain and suffering, 2013, this is a time when I went through a lot of rejection. I experienced rejection on three fronts, and this went on for about a year. First, I had 8 clients over in Augusta, and they fired me with very little explanation. And I had served them well for 5 years, and I just felt very rejected and very hurt by that. I was in ministry leadership, and I was asked to step aside, and I'd been a part of that for about 15 years, and had contributed a lot, and there was no explanation, and that was incredibly hurtful to me. And then I had a friend who I thought was someone who could become like a best friend. And I was in a hurting place after those first two rejections. I really needed someone, and this new friend just kind of fit the bill for me. And that friend ended up betraying me in a way that was shocking and incredibly hurtful. So there are these three rejections, and I believe that God was in every single one of them. God was bringing pruning. It hurt big time. But in that place, God took me into an abandonment wound in my heart, this really deep abandonment wound, and brought some great healing in that. And out of that time came a lot of fruit. And it was interesting, as I was getting towards the end of that time, I had no Timothys, other than some of the guys that you've been meeting here, who I keep up with, but no one who I was meeting with on a regular basis. And I was so frustrated. And I was saying, okay, Lord, I'm available to you. I don't think I'm terrible at this. This is on your heart. Where are the men? I mean, what's going on here? And this went on for several months, and I was really struggling with it. And I decided, this was a test that I had, and I decided in this place that I want to do what I can to abide more. And I ramped up my time with the Lord in a way I never had before. And I started doing this very aggressive Bible reading program, and it was just an incredibly rich time in the Word of God. And this pruning, combined with this abiding, it just led to this whole new crop of fruit for me. And I want to introduce you to some of these guys. First is Ryan. Here's me and Ryan and his older brother Nathan at Ryan's wedding. And so I was in the wedding. Ryan is someone who I met with for about 3.5 years, and he was a believer when we started, but he was just really struggling in his relationship with God, struggling with a lot of sin issues, and he just was not in a good place. And the Lord moved in a great way, and Ryan got freed up and overcame some significant strongholds in his life. And Ryan is someone who today just has a great heart for the lost, a great heart for the world and for evangelism. And Ryan is someone who I believe the Lord is probably going to take off into the nations. I could see him dropping him into Iraq or something. And he's just that kind of a guy. So that's Ryan. And then there's Jeff. I've been meeting with Jeff for about 4 years. Jeff had some major strongholds in his life. He was extremely isolated and addiction issues. And it's been incredible we studied the Gospel of John, Operation Timothy, and just to watch the Lord change Jeff's life. He has set him free from these strongholds. And Jeff is now getting past himself, and he's starting to meet with guys. In fact, this next picture is Jeff and a group of guys that he meets with. And he's had an special impact on Ryan. This is another Ryan. Ryan's the third from the left. This is Ryan's first marathon. And all the guys came out to support. And this is a group that Jeff leads now. And I've been getting to know these guys. And there I am on the end. So I went out to celebrate with them as well. But Ryan said to me about 3 months ago, he said, I don't know how he came up with this. He said, Rob, Jeff is fruit from your life and I'm fruit from Jeff's life. And I thought that was so remarkable that Ryan, we don't even know if Ryan's a believer. And he's starting to see this connection, okay? And so Ryan's the kind of guy who I could see, and Jeff started to talk to him about them meeting and getting into Operation Timothy. I could see Ryan's the kind of guy who could become a fruitful guy. And Jeff is just, it's unbelievable to me. Jeff was like a cave dweller. He was not connected with people. He was so locked down with his addictions and has such a wounded past. And how the Lord has lifted him out of that, and now God is using him in the lives of these other men. And then there's Jamie. There's Jamie on the right. I know it's just a shadow. And that's Jamie's wife, Kelly, on the left, and my friend Peter in the middle. I'm going to come back and talk about Jamie a little bit later on my last illustration. So let's hold off on him. And Forrest, this is 2 weeks ago. I was up in Boston. And Forrest is third from the right. You can barely even see a shadow there. I met Forrest. He was in Atlanta for a summer program with the Navigators. And I connected with him, and at the end of the summer, he asked me if I would disciple him. And he was going to be a junior at University of Alabama, and I prayed about it, and we started just meeting on the phone. I'd never not done that before, but I felt like the Lord was saying to do that. Forrest has an extraordinary mind. He's unbelievable in science and numbers. He graduated from Alabama and moved to Boston. He's at Northeastern getting his master's in data science. And he connects with all these scientific types of people. And Forrest and I have been meeting on the phone for 3.5 years. And this is one of those things, it's like, God, is this going to work, meeting on the phone versus face-to-face? But the Lord revealed himself to Forrest back in December. And he had this incredible encounter with Jesus. And Forrest is now a believer. And he thought he was a believer before. But now he realizes, I wasn't a believer. And God has done this for him. And Forrest now just has such a heart for people. And I was in Boston a couple weeks ago to visit Forrest. He said to me a few weeks back, hey, Rob, why don't you come up and visit me and just spend some time? And I thought, what a great invitation. So rolled up there and got to know a bunch of his friends. Matt is right there in the middle. Matt's at Harvard getting a PhD in chemistry. And these are the kind of people that Forrest reaches out to. That's Willie on the left. He went to Dartmouth, and he's into biotech. And, you know, Forrest speaks that language. Willie's a lost guy, and Forrest is in his life. And these girls, Forrest is impacting them as well. And some of them were giving me testimony on how God has used Forrest in their life. Forrest is 24 years old. And I see this fruit just coming out of his life. He's just kind of getting started, you know? And this is just for meeting on the phone. So this is the kind of fruit that I've seen from this last season of pruning. And the pruning gets harder and harder and harder is my experience. So what happened in 2013 and 2014, that year of rejection, it was tough. It was a test. But remember, the test is, are you going to respond in faith? And what that looks like is hanging in there. It's persevering. And God says, out of perseverance, I'm going to make you mature and complete. The last season I've had in terms of pain and suffering, I mentioned it last night. It was started in 2016, went 19 months, wrapped up back in May. Worst health issue of my life. This is the 19 months of sciatic nerve pain that I had. It's interesting. I have not seen the fruit come out of that time, but I'm believing it's in the pipeline. Okay? And so I'm in a very exciting time in my life right now. Because I had the harshest pruning I've ever had. And I just believe, God, this is what your word says. I think God's about to bring a harvest, through a new harvest, new fruit through my life. It's just this principle about pruning, bringing much fruit and then more fruit. So as this happens, as you can imagine, my mindset towards pain is changing. I mean, believe me, I don't want to go through pain just like you guys don't. But as I do, I see God's purpose. It helps me to embrace it more and to see this is all attached to the fruit of God, and the fruit of God in my life is attached to giving glory to God. So that's what we're all about. So to see pruning in your life, you know, first look, is there fruit in my life? Because that's where God prunes, is where there's fruit. And if there is, you're a candidate for pruning. If you're in a place in your life right now where you're hurting, well, maybe that's the vine dresser shears that are at work in you to shape, to direct, to strengthen you for a season of more fruit that you can't see right now, but it's in the pipeline for you. Okay, I want to move on to the last part here, the last idea for bearing, for leading a fruitful life, which is to persevere. Now, this sounds pretty simple, but I think there's some really cool ideas in here. So I encourage you to give me your attention just for a few more minutes, and we'll open the floor for any questions, and then we'll wrap it up. A lot of you are familiar with the parable of the sower, where Jesus talks about the four soils, the hard, the shallow, the soil with thorns, and the good soil. And he said this is the most important parable that there is. In Luke 8, Luke takes us through the parable. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but there's a couple of verses that stood out to me. In verse 8 of Luke 8, he says, "Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. But the seed on good soil," here's verse 15, "stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." It's that last part that really stands out to me. By persevering, produce a crop. I used to think of this parable as, okay, if I've got good soil, the seed hits it, boom, I get that hundredfold. Well, I think there's more to it, is what I'm thinking now. This is by persevering, it produces a crop. And I'm starting to see, this is persevering throughout my life, okay? This is not for a couple weeks or a couple years. You want to get the big crop, you want that hundredfold return, it's about persevering for the long haul. Our heart is not just necessarily one type of soil. That's how I used to read this parable. Gee, am I hard? Am I the shallow? Am I the thorns? Or am I the good soil? I've come to think of this parable differently. I think that there are parts of my heart where there are thorns. There are parts of my heart soil that's shallow. There are parts of my heart soil that's good soil. And still could be some parts that are hard. And there, I think that there can be a blend, okay? And this is really significant because God is always working in my heart. I think he's constantly improving the soil so he can bring a better return. 1 Corinthians 3:9, Paul writes, "You are God's field." You are God's field. And guess what? God is always working in his field, right? He's working in the soil of your heart and of my heart. Regularly working in us, teaching us, changing us. And as we engage in God's business, we've been talking about doing God's business. As we engage in God's business, he works in us. In Philemon 6, it says, "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you may have a full understanding of everything that we have in Christ." So to have a full understanding in Christ, you've got to be active in sharing your faith. As we're engaged in God's business, he's working in our hearts so that we would have a full understanding. And we need to persevere in this work. We need to persevere in our intimacy with God. Persevere in working in the lives of people, with our Timothys, with the lost. Persevere in the trials and the pruning. Man, when we hurt, there's a part of me that wants to just say, forget it. This is too much. When I was going through my 19 months, there was a part of me, well, maybe I should just get the medication. That's where it started with the doctors, pain pills. That's an easy path. That could feel kind of nice too. So there's a part of me, that's the easy road. But I feel like the Lord said, no, that's not the road that he had me on. So we've got to persevere. And a place where the Lord has shown me this, Sam, we can go back to my friend Jamie. And this is, I think this is my last story I want to share. So Jamie on the far right there, I met Jamie 8 years ago. As I mentioned before, I'm always looking for new lost relationships because I kind of need to replenish the well. And 8 years ago, I went to Colgate University. They have an Atlanta chapter, and I invited to go to an event. And I hadn't been to one of those in probably 20 years. And for some reason, I just felt like God was saying, I want you to go. I went, and it was at Jamie's house. I didn't know Jamie. Knocked on the door. He answered. Met him that night. Hung out on the back porch. He's smoking cigarettes and pounding beers. And, you know, the whole alumni event was going on. I felt a great connection with Jamie. And we ended up having lunch after that. We found all these things we had in common. And we started to pursue a friendship with him. And one of the things we had in common was we liked to run. So I was just constantly initiating with Jamie, sending him a text, hey, you know, you want to get together and run on Saturday? And we ran, you know, not every week, but I'd say, you know, about half the weekends we'd be out there running. This went on for about 5 years. We were just getting together and building a friendship. And we really built a friendship. And you'd be surprised if you're not a runner. When you're running, you're talking all the time. Because if you're running too fast, you can't talk. And so it's the blood's flowing, and it's just a great environment to really get to know somebody. And we got into all kinds of spiritual stuff. He was very interested. He wanted to hear all about my relationship with his dad, because his relationship with his dad was so terrible. And about 3.5 years ago, he asked me if we could start studying the Bible together. Wow. Wow. And Jamie's one of these guys who works at Goldman Sachs. He is unbelievably successful. I mean, he's at the top. He's got the beautiful wife, the beautiful car and house, the perfect kids and everything. But Jamie's a man. And he's so successful at Goldman Sachs. But he's got issues like we do. And the Lord just worked through our friendship. He wanted to study the Bible. 2 years ago, Jamie came to Christ. He met Jesus in the shower. What a great place to meet Jesus. Water's coming down on him. We had just like drilled the gospel that morning, and the Lord just took it and really opened Jamie's eyes. And for him, it was just, as he just asked God to forgive him, that water, the symbolism, right, of just cleansing him. And Jamie came into the kingdom, and he's such a changed man. And what a blessing he is to me. Unbelievable. His wife has seen her, she has a new husband, and she likes the new husband. The new husband loves her and loves the kids in a whole new way. He wants to be with the kids. She goes out of town to play golf with her girlfriends, and she'll say, do you want me to get a sitter? And he says, no, I can't wait to spend, really? You want to just be with the kids now? She sees all these changes going on with him, and she's curious, and she doesn't know what's going on with my husband. So we realized we need to get into Kelly's life, so we've started a John study. So I meet with Jamie and Kelly, and there's another couple. Neil, who's on my page under focus group there, his wife is also not a believer. So we got two lost wives and two believers, and the five of us are meeting, and man, are we having a time in the Gospel of John. It is extraordinary. And the ladies are coming along, especially Kelly. Kelly said about 6 or 8 weeks ago, she said, I haven't had my moment yet, but I see where he is, and that's where I'm going. Isn't that something? Yeah. I like what I see. I don't understand all this yet, but that's where I'm going, and I can't wait for my moment. So we're really having a time. This picture is particularly special for me because in the middle of the picture is my friend Peter. Peter's a new friend. Peter grew up in communist Czechoslovakia. His story of coming to America is amazing. He has a tremendous work ethic. He created a business. He had 300 employees. He sold that. Now he's in the financial services business. He's having great success there. But he's an empty, lost, former communist guy who grew up around atheism. And I've just got this great connection with Peter, and the four of us had lunch, and what a joy to have the four of us around the table. Jamie, new believer, his lost wife, Kelly, who's trying to figure out what's going on, and here's my friend Peter. Well, Peter at this lunch, Peter just dropped F-bombs throughout the lunch. Peter talked about this marriage he had, and man, he just used this woman, and he just laid it out for Kelly. And I could just see Kelly sitting there thinking, now Rob, you're friends with Peter, this guy, he's kind of a scoundrel, you know? And then Jamie's over there, you know, seeing, oh, okay, this is how we do it. This is kind of what you did with me, right? What was going on around that table was just such a thrill. This is the kind of life, you know, that God brings when we just engage with people and we have a heart for what's on God's heart. In 1 Thessalonians 3:8, Paul writes, "For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord." And this is something that Rathi helped me understand, is we want to build up Timothy until Timothy is standing firm in the Lord. And Paul said that's when we really live. When they're standing firm in the Lord, that's where they are equipped, and that's where they're reaching out and they're bearing fruit. And that's my vision for Jamie. The most exciting thing is not my fruit, it's Timothy's fruit, because that's where the generations really begin. And let's go back to the vision. One will become 1,000. The least of you becoming 1,000. So to get there, it's not so much about my fruit, but the generations that come from Timothy. And so I am fully committed to Jamie and to these other guys to continue to be available in their lives and to help them understand these things. You know, Jamie, he's Goldman Sachs. It's pretty attractive. You know, that whole package. It's going to be really interesting to see how he processes that and to see the kind of decisions that he makes, temporal versus eternal, and walking through that with him. But I think Jamie's on a great track. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary at doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." At the proper time, let us not become weary. Men, we've got to persevere. We got to take the long view. Don't think 10 and 20 years. Think long term. I've got my friends from Duke. They're all lost. Great friends. We get together every year for an annual golf event. When I became a Christian, started engaging with them, the first couple years I was kind of struggling with it because I'm in their world and it's all that same stuff, the stuff I came out of. And the Lord started to really help me understand, Rob, I want to use you to reach these men. And I feel like God gave me a 40-year vision to reach these men. And that's my mindset. And I am more than halfway through that 40-year vision. And I have seen no fruit come out of that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to persevere because I really believe that God has a plan for those men. You know, for God, 40 years is nothing, right? So we got to think like God does. Well, as you look at my fruit tree here, I didn't go through every single one, but I think you get the idea. Guys, when I put this together, as I think you've heard from me, this is very much my heart. And honestly, as I put this together, my reaction to it is, I feel like I'm just off to a good start. I've been doing this for 23 years, and I really feel like I'm at the beginning. Not the very beginning, but for me to get to the vision, man, I got to persevere. I got to keep going. And when these Timothys, I've already seen reproduction, but to see more of these guys, you know, Ryan, Jeff, Jamie, and Forrest, 6, 7, 8, and 9, those guys are starting to see it. But as everybody really starts to take hold, and then as their fruit starts to bear fruit, that's when we start to see where this vision of getting to one becoming 1,000 can come to pass. I'm trusting the Lord's promise that as I abide, he's going to bring much fruit and he will be glorified. And of course, he wants to do the same thing in your life. Whether you're on the front end, toward the end of your race, or somewhere in between. If you're on the front end of your race, look at my friends Ryan, Jeff, Jamie, and Forrest. God has already brought fruit into their life. These guys are fairly new believers. Some of them are very new. God's already giving them fruit. God wants to do the same thing in your life if you're on the front end. If you're on the back end of your race, let me give you a word of encouragement from Psalm 92:14. The righteous will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock." So if you're at the end of your race, God says, I'm going to keep you fresh and green. you're still going to bear fruit in old age. And of course, if you're somewhere between the beginning and the end, that's kind of where I feel that I am, right? God wants to bring the harvest through you as well. I'm going to stop there and see if there's any questions. So, yeah, Aaron. God has shown me a lot of sin in my life as I've questioned, but I have not been in a place in one of these seasons where I felt like God said, "Rob, this is an overt sin." And that's why I've struggled with is it pruning or is it discipline? So this last round I went through with the sciatic nerve pain, I mean, some of the sin that God showed me was I have so much more anxiety in my life than I realized. I was really out of touch with that. I have this big perfectionist streak in me, and I didn't realize that's a really ungodly thing. God has not made me to be perfect, and for me to pursue perfectionism, that's not where God wants me to be. And there's been other stuff, but those are some examples. But I haven't seen it where there's been a season where it's a, you know, "Rob, you're really out of bounds here. You know, you've been looking at pornography and the fruit has stopped and I'm bringing some significant pain for that." It's tricky to discern, but that's a short answer for you. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Well, guys, it's been a joy to be with you. And may you go forth and bear much fruit. Amen.